Day Street Books and Harper Audio present What a Fool Believes, a memoir written and read by Michael McDonald with Paul Reiser. A note before we begin. Don't forget to download the accompanying enhancement PDF from your audiobook provider. It contains a list of Michael McDonald's complete discography.
This book is dedicated to my wife, Amy, my son, Dylan, and my daughter, Scarlett, who will always be the best part of my life story. Preface. Van Nuys, L.A. County Jail, 1971. I'm getting fingerprinted and processed for the second time this week. Maybe my third or fourth interaction with L.A. County's finest that year. I'd lost track. Earlier that week, it was for driving home drunk from some dive where I was playing keyboards in a country western band to an audience of two, possibly three, remarkably indifferent barflies. This time, I was pulled in after falling asleep in a booth at Dupar's Pancake House, following a 48-hour marathon party for two with a female friend, walking the tightrope between a cocaine binge and copious amounts of Jack Daniels. I had stopped at Dupar's to try to drink enough coffee to sober up somewhat before getting back behind the wheel. I'm 19 and already feeling past my prime. Any career aspirations appearing more like an ever-receding mirage. Standing in the harsh fluorescent lighting of the Van Nuys precinct, I'm steps away from the cell I'll be occupying as soon as I finish this torturously slow admission process. I had been a guest here, frequently enough as of late, that the admitting officer felt comfortable asking me what I planned to do about my obvious problem. As usual, that all-too-familiar feeling of righteous indignation welled up inside of me as I thought, "Who the fuck are you? You don't know me? Or any problem of mine, for that matter." While he was doing all the talking, my eyes zeroed in on the closest thing to salvation on this otherwise bleak morning. Through the steel bars, I noticed a vacant cot bolted to one of the drab beige cinder block walls of the holding cell. My single greatest hope in that moment was grabbing that cot before anyone else did. I just wanted a horizontal space to sleep it off and briefly escape the noise in my head. I wasn't concerned with making any phone calls, as there was no one left to call. Certainly no one who wanted to hear from me again under these circumstances. My life in that moment had come down to one small prayer. God, please let me make it to that cot. Nothing more. Mercifully, my prayer was answered, and assuming the fetal position on my little metal refuge, I did manage to grab a few hours of much-needed shut-eye. When I was suddenly rudely awakened by a loud disturbance. As I sat up in the bunk, I could just make out through the now standing room only crowded cell three or four dudes, yelling, cursing, and throwing aimless drunken punches at each other. I remember thinking, Jesus, these assholes need to get their shit together. Yes, miraculously, in that moment, the fact was somehow lost on me that I was occupying the same cell with them. Still, somewhere way down deep, I might have been wondering how I got here. Chapter 1. Love is a Many Splendored Thing. I started my life in North St. Louis, where my father worked as a streetcar driver for the St. Louis Public Service Company City Transit. And in the summer of 1956, when I was all of 4 years old, he took me to work with him one day. Now, if you've ever been to St. Louis in the summer, you know that a breeze in mid-August would be noteworthy in and of itself. But there was one moment, and one breeze, that I remember right now as vividly as the day it happened. We were the only two people on that number 40 crosstown streetcar that afternoon, and with the whole cabin to myself, I picked a seat about halfway back, my dad up front at the helm in his impressive driver's uniform and cap. I figured he must be one of the most important men in the whole city, like a general in the army or something. For my dad, however...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?